thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. My name's David Kendra and I'm here at Leeds Trinity University, currently watching Guiseley Academy winning 3-0 against Rochdale in their first league game of the season here. It's quite interesting. There's a lot of hope. And number 7, Tavish Hussain, has just got a 35-yard belter for the second goal. The Lions having it all their own way in this first half. It's nice to see a Guiseley team winning. But it's been a funny old week for the Lions at Nethermoor, and it started last Wednesday when Adam Lockwood and Dave Penny were removed from their positions. In the meantime, Danny Lowe and Martin Stringfellow were put in charge of first team affairs for the long trip to Leighton Orient for the very first visit to Brisbane Road in the Vanarama National League. Before that game, Chairman James Ferguson spoke to Guiseley Radio's Colin Robertson about his plans for the future.
Thanks so much for giving up your time. You've got some posh seats, haven't you, here at Brisbane Road? It's a lovely facility, isn't it?
It's lovely. It's very high up, it has to be said. But yeah, it's great facilities.
Now, just whereabouts are you? Because we're in the gantry, we're on this top floor, we're looking down. It's like looking down on a Sabutio pitch down
it
there.
It is, so, yeah. So. We're on level 3, so you're on 5, aren't you?
We're
so
on 5.
We're two level. You're on a higher level to us, Colin.
It's the first time I've ever been on a higher level to anyone. But, you know, we'll take these first. It's been a bit of a week for you, hasn't it? And a bit of a week for the club. Of course, we had to say goodbye, if we get down to business, really, with the departure of Adam Lockwood and Dave Penny. A good club man, Adam. He's been a manager for a year, but results just haven't worked out on the field, have they?
They haven't, you know, and yeah, it's been a tough week, like you said, especially, bringing the end to anybody's job is always difficult. It's even more difficult when you've got a club man like Adam in charge, and, you know, it makes it even more difficult, as I said. So, but results weren't going our way. And we're not too sure why that was. We had strengthened in pre-season. The budget was extended considerably in comparison to last year. But whether it being luck or whether it just things just weren't working out, we as a board felt that we needed change, unfortunately.
Mm. And it must have been tough. You obviously were part of making that announcement to the players this week. How did they take it on board?
Well, it was important that we didn't dwell on it because, you know, it's important that we keep them focused on what their jobs are. So it literally was a 2 or 3 minute conversation just to confirm what they we had released on the media, and to make them aware that they would be the first to hear about the person that would be replacing Adam, and just to get them cracking on with training. It literally was a 2-3 minute conversation with them, because we wanted to, you know, the mood's very positive in the camp, and we didn't want to distract them as much as little as we could, really.
Such a tough period, isn't it, when you just lost a manager and then you're in the midst of presumably negotiating and finding a replacement of a calibre that you see as appropriate for the club?
Yeah, you know, we obviously want to get somebody in as quickly as we possibly can. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we get the right calibre of candidate. Negotiations have gone really, really well. We've had a lot of applicants, as you would imagine. But we all sat down and we drafted a shortlist of people that we wanted. And I'm delighted to say that our number one target, we're 95% there with. And all being well, we can make an announcement on Monday on that position.
Yeah, that's really, really encouraging to hear. I mean, especially in a week when there's been very little that you've probably been able to say, but I imagine there's been loads of work going on behind the scenes.
There has, a lot of late nights, travelling up and down the thick of the country, but you know, there's a practical side of things as well. We have acted quickly, but as I said, you know, it's making sure that things are done correctly. And there's a lot of things that get in the way that perhaps the supporters don't realise. And it is frustrating, equally for us as it is for them as well. We want to move on as quickly as we possibly can and get things settled as much as we possibly can. Unfortunately, at this level of football, there's a lot of solicitors involved and various things that need to get signed, and And it's the paperwork that takes the time as well, and you know it doesn't happen overnight. So in the short space of time, we have done remarkably well, and on all being well, on Monday we'll be able to announce Adam's replacement.
That's great news to hear. I mean, it's very encouraging. It's always encouraging to hear that lawyers are always winning. They're the ones who always come out on anything. But talk a bit, I mean, obviously we can't talk about the individual themselves, but talk about what we're looking for in a manager this time round. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I can. It's important that they look at the club as a whole, and not just what's going on the pitch, and they buy into the philosophy of the football club. You know, we want to, we realise to compete at this level, we probably are going to be looking at going full time, and we felt that as well as getting somebody in who is going to look at the club as a whole rather than just on the pitch, although ultimately that's what their main focus will be, that they bring with them a wealth of experience, and they realise that moving forward we probably will have to go full time at some point, and to make that happen.
Mm. So there's a lot of ambition then, isn't there? There's a lot of positive view of where we can go as a football club on the field, but also about retaining that character about the club as a whole.
Absolutely. You know, I think the club, I wouldn't say the club has been sailed for the last couple of years. I wouldn't say that now. I'd say that we are very ambitious. We want to do things. We don't want to just be here making up numbers. And I think probably, all being well, we make the announcement on Monday, and that'll raise a few eyebrows, and it'll be a statement of intent of what certainly what we're about. You know, like I say, we're not here to make numbers up, and we do want to progress the football club. And it's important that we have identified the right man who shares our vision.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. But today, I mean, what a trip it's been down here to this grand stadium, Leighton Orient. And those players are out there at the moment getting prepared. Has it been fairly carefree preparations this last couple of days?
Yeah, well, like I said, we want to get the lads focused on what their job is. We don't want them to be getting too much involved or distracted with off-the-field activities. So the mood in the camp at the moment is positive. At the end of the day, they're professionals, and they know that they've got a job to do, and they're just getting on with things as normal, and we'll try and keep them in the loop when it's convenient for them and when it's the right time. But today for them, it's all about winning today and getting 3 points.
Yeah, so in effect, you don't think it should have too much of an impact, really, on those professionals. They're down there, they've seen it, been here before.
No, exactly. When I spoke to them on Thursday, it was very brief, very clear, very short, and it was a case of, this is where we are, let's get on with it.
Yeah. And a good number of fans just congregating in blue shirts, as we're going to be playing in blue this afternoon, down in the stand away to our right. They've stuck through thick and thin, haven't they, in the first few games?
They have. We've got absolutely fantastic supporters. You know, you're not always going to please everybody. That would be wishful thinking. But the backers, they may not agree with us all the time, but the backers, and for that, you know, we also so much to them. But I mean, there's, you know, getting to this ground in London, it's a difficult task. Getting to London is in itself is a difficult task because of the distance, but actually getting to this ground, as we found out earlier on when we did a recce this morning, it's quite difficult. And like you say, they've turned out in numbers, and it just goes to show what this club means to them.
Yeah, and we keep growing those numbers year on year, and with the level of ambition, that can only continue, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm hoping in the next 2 or 3 months we can make some real big announcements, but the things that we've been working on. The small things are more materialistic things, but are still important in that in terms of raising the profile of the club. But there's some big things that we've got in the pipeline as well. And all being well, in the next couple of months, we can make some of them announcements as well.
Very good. Well, today, fancy making a prediction. I won't press you on any of those big announcements. You know, I don't like to grill you too much, James. But, I mean, what do you reckon today?
I'm going to go for a 2-1, guys, the win, obviously. But, yeah, I'd It'll be tight, and they're playing very, very well, but I'm always optimistic, and I'm always going to back my team. So 2-1.
James, fantastic. Thank you so much for that, and a chance for you to come up here to the fifth floor and talk to us, and away from the brilliant hospitality we've had here at Leyton Orient. Actually, it's been fantastic today, so we really appreciate you coming up there.
No problem, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
So after that, the Lions makeshift management team took on Leyton Orient. Commentary here from Chris Bell and Colin Robertson.
And it's a throw to Geise midway through the Orient half on the right-hand side.
Yeah, it's taken half an hour, but Geise finally having a good, solid attacking spell at the moment.
Perver now on the ball. Takes it past Mooney, moves forward, plays it square here to Molyneux. Molyneux, centre of the pitch. Takes it past two, actually, plays it out to the right-hand side, gives it to Hurst, drills across, Adejaye! He's put the ball in the back of the net! And against the odds, the Lions have taken the lead here, Coyote Adejaye, from the right-hand side, Kevin Hurst crossed, Adejaye reacted first, believe it or not, it's Leyton Orient nil, Geise won!
What a terrific move that is for the Lions, beautiful ball out from Molyneux to find Hurst on his right-hand side. And the best delivery it could possibly have been. And there was Coyote Adejaye to tap it in from 6 yards out. The Lions have the lead at Orient. Leyton Orient nil, Geisley won.
The ball now with Orient. Square now to Widdowson. Widdowson plays it out to the left-hand side. Makhanov perhaps should have scored earlier on in this game. To the angle of the penalty area now. He's on the left flank, held up by Hurst. East, rather. East gets a touch. It's into the penalty area. Big shout for a handball as the ball ricochets off Ash Palmer. The referee obliges, and it's a penalty kick to Leyton Orient. And huge frustration from those Geise players as they go to talk to the referee. So Macaulay Bon, it will be, to take the penalty kick. 42 minutes in this game gone. Geise lead at the moment 1-0. Admittedly against the run of play. Bon from the spot finishes it in the left hand corner, sends Green the wrong way, relief around the ground as Macaulay Bon levels the scores, and it's now Leyton Orient 1, Geise 1.
Just as we were hoping to make it to the break, that goal up, something like that comes along. And as I say, you know, whilst Orient had deserved a goal, not in that fashion, though, because that did look terribly, terribly harsh from where we're sitting against Ash Palmer. And Daniel Lowe is still remonstrating with the referee, Gary Parsons.
Chiang on the ball now for the home side. Gives it to Clay. Clay floats one over the top. They haven't tried that long ball forward. It worked quite well there. Marcus Williams wins it.
No!
And Marcus Williams has been adjudged to have conceded a penalty, which frankly is almost baffling, because he seemed to go in to win the ball and then
Mooney's thrown himself over.
It's clearly he's surely not been pushed over at that point, and the referee has given a second penalty to Leyton Orient. But I have to say, if we thought the first one was harsh, from this distance, from my initial reaction, that second one is crazy. It was the assistant on the far side who flagged straight away. And it'll be a second chance. Well, it'll be a chance now for Macaulay Bunn to put Orient 2-1 up before the break. And, well, here we go. Bunn with the penalty. Same corner, same result. But this one, far more controversial. Both very, very controversial penalties. And now it's Orient 2, Geise 1.
Shocking. Absolutely shocking call from the assistant over on that far side. The referee wasn't the one that gave it initially. Tucked away nicely by Macaulay Bon. Joe Green went the right way, but just couldn't quite get there on this second occasion. It's just bitterly frustrating to have been let down by the match officials like that.
John Rooney on the ball. Pervert manages to just about get it out towards East, but he's robbed by Makhanov. Makhanov wins the ball and moves it down the left-hand side. He's got some distance to make up, goes up towards the edge of the 18-yard box. It's got Widdowson in the overlap. Widdowson will cross into the box, takes a deflection. Harold, 3-1. Matt Harold has scored the third. And it will mean that Geise will get nothing from this afternoon's game. After 64 minutes, it's now Leyton Orient 3, Geise 1. Now a little flick on here, and there's a chance once again for Leighton Orient, and they'll complete the route with a fourth for Macaulay Bunn. He runs through, gets his hat-trick, two from the spot, this one from open play, a flick on, Macaulay Bunn ghosted through between the defenders, ran towards the 18-yard box, Green came out, had really few options, spread himself, but Bunn slides the ball past him. 82 minutes gone now, Leighton Orient 4, Guysey 1.
Yeah, as easy as that for Macaulay Bunn. Danny East was shrugged off the ball far too easily by the Orient striker. And he's just slipped it underneath Joe Green.
And they trot around with it.
That's time, referee.
Unchallenged until the final whistle goes. And so there we go, full time. For a brief moment of joy, the Guysey were ahead in this game. And Coyote Odejaye scored after 36 minutes. We thought something special might be happening, as it was two controversial penalties and then a very accomplished second half performance from Leighton Orient. Stamped that out. Leighton Orient 4, Guysey 1.
Following on from the game, Colin caught up with club captain Danny Lowe.
Danny, tough game to come into, obviously, after the events of the week and stepping off without a manager today. And for a long spell, we were under a lot of pressure today, and then we got the goal, and then, of course, two penalties, and the game swings against us. It must have been a frustrating afternoon out there.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's obviously been a really tough week. Obviously, Adam's gone and Dave's gone, which obviously the lads have gutted it. But we understand that's football. Me and Martin obviously asked to come in and take training and take charge today, and firstly I'd say credit to the lads. They've acquitted themselves well in training, been professional about it, know we had to come in and try set up a formation that we could try and get something out of the game, and I thought to an extent we'd done that. Coming here with a manager is going to be a tough anyway, a big club, big crowd, full time players, a lot more resources than we've got at our disposal. And we said we wanted to set up in a way that we knew that they're going to have a lot of possession early doors. The crowd would be behind them. And we thought if we could weather that, get through it. I mean, they did have a few chances. Joe's pulled off some good saves. But the game went out. We thought it was going to. And we, as the half and on in the first half, we slowly got into the game and got a foot on the ball. And I thought it was a very well-worked goal by ourselves. Bit of calm heads in the middle of the park. And obviously Kez put a great ball across the box. And we managed to go 1-0 up. And then, without sounding too bitter and following Duruta, the moaning about the referees has absolutely killed us, to be honest. Asher's, the ball's just been pulled across. He's leaning that way in the first place. His arm's been straight by his side and he's given the penalty. Whether he's done that because he thought Joe fouled a striker earlier on and tried to make amends for it, I don't know. There's only the ref would know that. But obviously, knocks your stuffing out you a little bit, but you try and rally again. And then, the second penalty, the ref's not even get it. He stood facing the way that the incident happened, the line I was giving it. So I think after two pens in quick succession, it definitely deflated the lads. And coming out for the second half, it were always going to be tough.
And the half-time dressing room must have been deflated, but obviously you still knew they were in the game for that second period.
Yeah, deflated, but as we said there, decisions will happen, and once they have happened, you've got to dust yourself down. And the two penalties is a killer. If they score one and then another goal, but two penalties to be done by that in the first half is it's disappointing and it's a lot to take. But we're just sitting there, just forget it, because there's no point. You can't look backwards and change what's happened. It's happened, and let's try and we expected them to have a lot of possession again in the second half, which they did, to be fair. It's always going to be an uphill task after they've got the tails back up after being 1-0 down. The crowd was getting a little bit restless as well when they were 1-0 down. And then, like I say, third goal's the killer, really, because it's definitely an uphill task.
And in terms of how set about the game today, it was obviously a few changes, some interesting things that we hadn't seen before. Will Hatfield playing a very advanced role. Was that an opportunity for players to sort of express ways that they wanted to play in the game, or was that a collective decision amongst you guys?
I think that's Will's best position. I played with him at Halifax, and Will's a fit lad. He'll run all day for you, and he's better coming onto the ball. And the videos that we'd watched, we knew that if we get around the centre halves a little bit, which I think you saw in the first half, they'll start miss-kicking the clearances, and it happened, kicked him out for a few corners. So, not sounding like, we're managers, but that's exactly what we thought would happen, and that's why we push Will on there, because he's got the legs. And also, we knew they played two in the middle, so if we still had to latch onto their two, so it wasn't going to be outnumbered. And then obviously on the other side to it, when I was defending, it kind of goes into a five to try and make us look, so you're solid a little bit. You're going to influence the game going forward, and you're also solid to an extent when you're defending, so that was just a game plan, really.
Almost came off as well, didn't it? And I mean, so is your hat in the ring?
No. As far as I know, I'm sure. I think the new manager's not far off. I think I've still got a few years left in me yet as well, to be honest. But no, it was nice. It's a great experience, a great honour for the AD or the chairman of it, just to say, come here, Mike, take it. It's a learning curve for me, so obviously I want to go down that route of management. But I'm a player. I want a manager today. It was just the captain of the club and just do the best for the club I could and try and get all the lads focused and be as normal as possible and keep the spirits up. Like I say, it's a difficult week. It's obviously a difficult week for the chairman, whoever, obviously the decision has come from the top. So it's been a difficult week for the club all in all. But all you can do is praise the lads, really. I thought they've been first class in training, first class down here in the hotel, and done everything we asked of them. And yeah, that. But saying that, it doesn't really surprise me because we're a very strong, got strong characters, and we're a good group of lads, which I think you can see anyway.
So expect an announcement next week, and we'll be obviously looking to start to shape things more in our favour from Eastleigh next week. Another tough game for us, isn't it?
Every game's tough in this league. You look at the results week in, week out, teams are beating each other. Tranmere were down here, as Hartlepool had won the first game against us, so clubs that you expect to do well obviously find it a little bit more difficult, and obviously we're no exception to that. But yeah, like I said, the new manager will come in. As you know, as a football, been in football long enough, he might want to bring a few new players in, some players might leave. That's down to the new manager and whatever have you, and as a player, you've just got to come in. He'll obviously set his stall out how he wants things to be done, and you abide by it, and like I say, it's a clean slate for everyone. I think the potential new manager was here today, so he might have liked some things, he might not like some other things, but like I say, as a player, my job now is back to just being a player. That's it, that's all I can do, and to report for training whenever the new manager's announced, and just go from there, really.
And so, true to his word, James Ferguson delivered on his promise of a big name in management for the new appointment at Nethermoor, and Paul Cox, formerly of Barrow, was announced on Monday evening. He'll take on his first game this weekend at home against Eastleigh. Chris Bell spoke to him just after the announcement.
So, firstly, Paul, welcome to Guernsey Football Club.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
In the last couple of days, you know, we've heard from the chairman refer to having talks with the club's number one target. Obviously, they're delighted to get you on board now. But how did the move come about?
I got contacted by the club, and we've met up a couple of times now. And, you know, we've both talked about, you know, the ambitions. And to be honest, after speaking with the chairman of the board at the club, you know, I'm excited about the plans that they have for the club and the ambitions going forward.
Obviously, you've not been out of the game a great deal of time, to be honest. Only a couple of weeks since you left Barrow. What, from your point of view, then, is the Guernsey ambition? What have they said that has told the project to you?
Well, I just think it was the plan. I think what something that motivates me is to go into somewhere and build. And I think talking to the board, there was a logical plan there in a logical time frame with the ambition to ultimately become a Football League club. So, I know that it's tough. It's the toughest league to get out of, probably in Europe, you know, with the one up automatically and one through the playoffs. But, you know, with the building blocks that are in place and the thought process in how and the time frame to take the club forward, it was something that really appealed to me.
And, of course, you know, people from the outside, to be fair, will look at this as, I mean, James Ferguson has said it, that this new manager was going to be a statement of intent. It certainly is that. But people on the outside were looking at this thinking, what's Paul Cox doing at little old Guernsey?
Well, I think first and foremost, that's the thing that really appealed to me when talking to the board. You know, the thing of getting rid of this little old Guernsey tag and, you know, building us into a football club that has a proper standing in the National League first and foremost. and then have the aspirations and the desire to become a Football League club. You know, albeit this has all got to be in a proper time frame, but having sat and spoken, you know, a number of times now, it was that really appealed to me, and I'm very excited about coming on board, and I'm very excited about putting some strong foundations down on the playing side.
And of course, you know, you've most recently been at full time clubs at Barrow, at Torquay, at Mansfield. For the time being, at least at Guiseley, it's only a part time situation. Although, of course, you know, again, James Ferguson has said in recent days that full-time is an ambition that the club has. What do you feel, though, that from your time in full-time management that you can bring to Guiseley, who are, as I say, for now at least, a part-time club?
Well, I think, especially at this level of football, it's a know-how of one, of how to be sustainable at this level of football, but then, you know, the knowledge of how to get out of it and build into a Football League club. Like I said, before we look at that, there's a lot of things on the playing infrastructure that we're going to have to look at. Speaking to the board, there is that sort of desire to move into a full-time capacity. But all these things are going to be in a time frame where we're not overexerting ourselves and making sure that we do it in a logical manner. So, but look, it's a tough league. You know, the league's very uncompromising and doesn't respect anybody. And the first thing is to go in there and to really sort of galvanise the group of players that we've got to make sure that they, you know, they go into the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 games with a winning mindset.
I understand that you've been at the last couple of Guiseley games, obviously at home to Hartlepool and away at Leyton Orient on Saturday. What have you made from what you've seen of the side?
Well, it's tough sometimes when you go and watch a side that's probably been down on like a bit of luck and results have gone against them. Sometimes it'd be very easy to see things that really aren't there. I've not made any judgments. It'd be a clean slate for everybody on the playing side. I'm hoping it'll be a positive build up to Saturday, and then we can really, you know, after working with the players, then I can really make some really positive decisions in terms of taking the playing side forward.
Of course, you'll get to see the players a couple of times this week before the Eastleigh game. And in terms of your backroom staff as well, have you got somebody to just come in with you to help you out with your assistance, perhaps?
Yes, I've got people that will be coming in with me. Obviously, there'll be some that are there from Tuesday, and there'll be probably another one that will come in over the next coming days, stroke coming weeks. I think the backroom staff is very important at any level of football. And like I say, working with people that understand me, know me, is a massive part of that. But like I say, this has all got to be done what I would call a logical time frame. So we're not putting too much pressure on ourselves to overachieve and, you know, to give ourselves too much to do early on.
As you say, it's important to you to get your backroom in place. But of course, you know, Guiseley, and honestly, over the last few years, they probably have what they class as a very small backroom staff. Of course, just Martin, Martin Stringfellow, Steve Dickinson, of course, and then the assistant and the manager before. Are you looking to expand the numbers greatly upon those?
No, I'm not. No, it's like I say, we've got to work within, you know, within the financial budget, and like I say, yeah. Then I've got to, you know, to work and be very clever with the money that I've got to spend. So, no, it won't be masses and masses. It'll be, if anything, there'll be probably one, maybe two people that come in my backroom staff. So no, there's not going to be you know, multitudes of people coming in with all different roles and responsibilities. this is a conference national, and you know, we have to adhere to that and to really to move the club forward. It doesn't really take millions and millions of people behind the scenes. Sometimes it just takes people that are multifunctional and are good at what they do.
From the playing side of things, as you say, it's going to be a clean slate for everyone. But of course, you're likely to want to get some of your own players in. Is that something that's been discussed at length with the board so far?
Yes, it has. But once again, I feel it's important that when I go in there, that we look at and I and I give the players that are at the club the genuine chance to, you know, to rectify things. If you look through the squad, there's a lot of good players that have played at a very good level. And, you know, it's my job then to, you know, to sort of decipher, you know, which ones are going to take the club forward. I think in any sort of scenario like this, the new manager comes in, there's always that fear that the mass exodus full of, you know, and a nucleus of players coming in. What I want to do is I want to be calculated in terms of what I've got before I make any decisions on players coming in or players moving on.
And now, Grizzly fans, they'll have an idea of what a Paul Cox side is, because, of course, they've played against you a few times over the last few years when you think back to Barrow, Torquay, and then even going back to Eastwood days. But what should Grizzly fans, do you think, expect from a Paul Cox side?
I think one of them, there'll be a DNA, there'll be a blueprint, but also there'll be a team that has a mindset that goes and attacks this league. I can't see any reason why we can't put together a product that can go and attack a league. It's a league this season that I think is very, very open. I think anyone on the given day can beat each other. But I think consistency is the key. You know, and I think if anyone would look at a Paul Cox side, would probably say that it's a team that does things consistently. And like I say, if we can put some consistent performances together, I think the consistent results will come.
And of course, for you then, going forward, you know, raring to go, training tomorrow and Thursday, presumably, and then, of course, your first game in charge at Nethermoor against Eastleigh.
Yeah, it's a great game to get your teeth into. You know, a club with unbelievable resources. But like I say, it's going to be a building process. It's one that, you know, by Saturday, I hope to know the players a little bit better. I hope they know me a little bit better. I hope we can lay some strong foundations in the game on Saturday and build from there.
Is it good for you, do you think, to start your guys with management career with a home game in front of the Lions faithful?
You know, whether it was home or away, it's a football match that we want to go and attack. We want to please our supporters both home and away and really give them the belief that that the club is really going forwards.
What message would you give to the fans? Would that be, that, you know, to come down, for everyone to pull together and get behind you and the lads?
Well, I think belief's everything. And I think over you know, the short-term goal is to create a mindset at the football club where we belong and that we want to go and attack the league. And it's very easy when results go against you, both short and long-term, that you start and believe that you don't believe and you start picking on yourself as a team that's in and around the bottom. I think my first job is to go in there and make the players believe, which will then make the supporters believe and everyone around the club that this will be a progressive club and a club that wants to grow and wants to go and compete at the top end of this league.
Guys, the Vixens went through to the next round of the FAWPL Cup after beating Solihull Moors Ladies 2-1 after extra time. Goals from Danica Roberts and Chantelle O'Hara sealed the victory late on for the Vixens, who were unlucky not to wrap it up in normal time. The Vixens started the game brightly and created a good chance in the very first minute. Ebony and G darted down the wing before crossing the ball to the edge of the box, but Roberts' header went narrowly off target. The first half was a controlled game for Geisley, breaking down Solihull attacks before they got off the ground and playing some fantastic passing football. Roberts was unlucky not to get herself on the score sheet just before the half-hour mark. A sublime passing move went unpunished when her shot cannoned off the crossbar and back into play. Solihull had the opportunity to head into the break one up, if not for Ellie Hall. Her tracking back was rewarded when she made a crucial goal line clearance on 40 minutes. The second half was much the same picture, two early chances in quick succession for Geisley, but both went narrowly over, and this was the story for the rest of the half. It took until the 17th minute of extra time for a goal to come. Roberts pounced onto a loose ball and poked it past goalkeeper Kelly Woolley. Solihull replied quickly though, a lofted ball into the box met by the head of Carly Davis, which beat the back line, finding its way into the net.
A penalty was waved away minutes later when Roberts held the ball up well in the box and was brought down from behind, referee Martin Breaker waving play on. Goalkeeper Beth Seisman kept Geisley in it late on when she was off a line quickly, stopping the Solihull attacker from going through. The game was decided in the 28th minute of extra time. O'Hara whipped in a free kick from the edge of the box, which the keeper misjudged, spilling it into her own net to give Geisley the win. After the match, Oliver Coulthard caught up with Glenn Preston and match winner Chantal O'Hara.
So I'm here with manager Glenn Preston after his side's 2-1 win away at Solihull Moor Ladies after extra time. How do you think your team got on?
Well, we've kind of made probably much more hard work of it than we needed to, but I think it was important that we bounced back from last week. We needed a reaction, and today was a much more Geisley-like performance. You know, in all honesty, we probably covered more ground in the first 45 minutes of that game than we did in the whole of the 90 last week. We kept the ball really well. Our build-up play was fantastic. And to be honest, we hit the woodwork three times, but we should have scored two or three goals in 90 minutes and settled the game there, really.
There were some young players in that squad today, Ellie Parkin especially, making a full debut. How do you think she got on?
Yeah, she's played superb. She's got through 120 minutes, 16 years of age. You know, we brought a couple of them up again because we're still massively short on players. We've got one or two back. Ellie Hall's come in today and she's made a big difference. Shan, we already know, is one of the best players outside the Super League. And, you know, that's why our build-up play was so good today, because it was crucial to have a player that could literally just get on the ball, be composed, not buckle under any 1v1 pressure and play forward passes between the lines. And that's made a huge difference to us today. So I felt like the players were enjoying it out there. And going back to Ebony and Helly, you know, they've done absolutely brilliant yet again.
Could have wrapped it up in the 90 minutes, but the end product wasn't there. What do you think went wrong?
We're a little bit short in the final third, but again, I think it comes down to personnel change. I mean, Danica's only just come back from injury. She's not really played any minutes and done any pre-season under her belt, so you've got that sort of to contend with. Having said that, Danica was absolutely brilliant and deserved a goal. But it's just a rustiness in there, and to be honest, we've not done a lot of attacking in the last previous two games. So it's been more about patching the team up, more about trying to make ourselves difficult to beat. It's been more about getting a group of people together who have literally just been thrown together in the last few weeks and try and make them as much of a team as we can do. So I guess we've not necessarily prioritised what we do in the final third as much. But that being said, we still created enough chances to score three, four goals easily in open play.
And who are you looking for to get in the next round?
It's not a massive priority, the FA Premier League Cup, for us in the circumstance. I think, again, we'd probably like somebody local. I'd like an opportunity to have another go at Huddersfield. Like I said, I don't feel as though they played anything that resembled a Geisley side, not one that I recognise. Too many players missing. I think we'd like that. Or, you know, get another tasty fixture against somebody like Bradford or Brighouse.
I'm here with Shan O'Hara after today's 2-1 win away at Solihull Moors Ladies. How do you think you played in your first game back this season?
I think it was a good game to kind of get started. Cup game, we know that it was going to be a tricky one just because we've kind of heard good things about them. But we set up really well. We tried to play through them. We had a few chances and we didn't quite get the result that we wanted by the end of the game. But we kept going. Then we got the goal. And unfortunately, they equalised, but it was a really good kind of competitive game to come back to, and it was good for the fitness, and it was good to kind of see the new players that we'd brought in and seeing how everyone plays together, which I think is kind of the main bit when players are still coming back from kind of holidays. So I think as a whole, I think we played well, but obviously we've just got improvements for next week, and especially when we're coming up against hard kind of competition.
And it was, of course, your goal which won it after 120 minutes.
Yeah, definitely. You want to be scoring any game, but to score the win in the cup game, especially when the team have worked so hard kind of for the 120 minutes that we played, everyone's legs were tired, and we knew that if we didn't get kind of a late goal, then we'd be going to penalties, and you kind of never know how that one's going to go. So yeah, definitely, and kind of always love a free kick finish as well, even though it wasn't my best. But it doesn't matter, a goal's a goal, and it was the winning one, so obviously just take that into next week. We'll play Fylde.
The next test for the Vixens is on the 10th of September. That's away to Fylde in the league. So the Young Lions ran out 3-0 winners in the end, Tabisha Sain scoring twice and a third added by Luke Hogg. The goal scoring finished after 24 minutes. Rochdale came back into the game and lots to be worked on, but with six players making their debuts, it's a good test of where they are as a squad. Their next game is on Wednesday, the 13th of September. The Young Lions will face FC United at Nethermoor, and that's sure to be another great test for them. After the game, I caught up with Academy manager Dave Curry. Dave, give us your thoughts on that game. 3-0, half an hour gone, job done?
Yeah. Kind of took off the gas a little bit in the second half. Made a few changes, used all four subs. But we're quite happy, first game of the season. Always difficult to come out and get a performance. And yeah, we've got to be happy with that. 3 points, job done. Yeah.
Going forward across the season, what's the aims for the under-19s this year?
We've got to be up there. And about finished second in the league for the last four seasons, and we've been close, so maybe we can go one better, but we don't put any big predictions on what we're going to do. We're just going to go out there and the lads will work hard, hopefully progress, we can progress some further in football, and that's the aim. If we go far in the cups and in the league, and we get something in the league, well that's great. But I say we've got our own aims and objectives. All the lads know exactly what our aims and objectives are, and we keep that between ourselves. I'll let you guess what they are, but after finishing second in the league over the last four seasons, but yeah, we've got our own aims.
Fantastic. The second half not quite as direct as the first one, but absolute batter in that first half from the number seven.
Yeah. No, that's Tabisha. He's only it's his first year, and it's his first game of his debut. So to score two goals was excellent, and hopefully we'll get some more to come from him.
And that'll about wrap it up for another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us again. Next week we'll have an interview with the new community development manager at Guiseley, Steve Taylor. And Guiseley Radio, of course, will have full match commentary of this weekend's match against Eastleigh. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Nethermoor. You can listen to us, if you should so desire, from about 2:45 on Saturday afternoon. You can find us at mixlr.com/ Guiseley Radio. You can email us anything you like, radio@guiseleyafc.co.uk, or you can tweet us if you do such things anytime you like at Guiseley Radio, and we'll respond to you there. Don't forget, we've got a brand new website as well. Check that out. That's guiseleyafc.co.uk. They've been working hard on that this week, and hopefully we'll see you on Saturday at Nethermoor to roar the Lions to a victory in Paul Cox's first game in charge. We'll see you then.